Want to bring Christian greetings to each one this morning. Aren't you thankful for the cleft in the rock, a place to hide? When the storm is raging, the storm is on, you and I have a place that we can steal away and get alone with the Lord and be secure in Him. If you'd like to look with us, I'd like to look over into Romans, the 13th chapter. Romans, the 13th chapter. And I'd like to start with verse 11. Let's just bow our heads for prayer before we begin. Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful this morning for the precious blood of Jesus that cleanses from all sin. We're so thankful, Lord, that we have an anchor of the soul, steadfast and sure, while the billows roll, that Jesus is our anchor. We're so thankful for the rock, and we're glad, Lord, that the strong cords hold our soul as we're anchored to the rock of ages. We pray, dear Father, that thou will help us, that by the grace of God, each one of us might be more determined today to be faithful, to be true, to allow God to work on our lives, to be alive spiritually, and to be able, Lord, to reach out to souls that are needy around us. We just pray that thou will have that way in this service. Father, that thou will open the word to our hearts. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans 13:11. And that knowing the time that it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering, wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And in our Sunday school lesson, especially the very last part of that chapter had stood out to me. In Hebrews 6:18, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. In our Christian hymnals, over on page 483, some days ago, I was there at the house and in the other room, and I heard the children playing. There were some of the grandchildren there. And this song was a song that one of them began to sing. Will your anchor hold? in the storms of life, when the clouds unfold, their wings of strife, when the strong tides lift and the anchors strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain? And then they begin to sing that chorus. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock, which cannot move. Grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. And sometimes in life, you need an anchor. In fact, all the time you need an anchor. But especially in the day that we're living in, we're talking about the scripture that says it's high time that we awake out of sleep, for our salvation is nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. And as I listen to that child's voice singing the song, will your anchor hold? Will your anchor hold? The scripture talks about that being led by a child. And I thought my heart was touched. You know, we've taught our children some of these songs. And here it was coming back. They had learned them. And they were singing them. And is it worth our time for what we put into this to teach our children and bring up our families in the fear of God? And then to realize that sometimes, thank the Lord, it echoes back from our children what we taught them, and that it works, that we have an anchor of the soul, that Jesus is an anchor of our soul. Especially in the time that we're living in, when that it's high time that we awake. We dare not go to sleep spiritually. We go to sleep spiritually, then the ties won't be there. That great strong anchor won't. The cords of hope that reach out there and get a hold of the rock of ages won't be there when it's needed. Something that will hold us. There was a little lady, probably 90-some years old, that came to a cottage prayer meeting that we had at Conway. And she said to me one time, she was 90-some years old, she said, you know, Brother Steve, she said, I was reading over there in Amos, the 8th chapter of Amos, and she said, I couldn't understand what that meant. She said it talked about a famine in the land and a thirst, not for bread or water or of those things, but of hearing the word of God. And she said, I couldn't understand what that meant. But she said, I believe that that's speaking about the day we're living in. And she was talking about all of these false versions that we have around about us. And many of them are very deceitful and very cunning in the way they take out God's word. They'll leave out the blood of Jesus here. They'll leave out the virgin birth, incarnation of God into man. They love to leave out hell. They love to leave that out. And they leave out a lot of different things, and some are more cunning about doing them than others. And she said, you know, I believe that that's what this scripture is talking about. People have something. The devil has given them a substitute for the real thing, for the word of God. That's going to hold them, the anchor of the soul. Jesus is the word. And in the beginning was the word. He was God, and the word of God is that which will save the soul and get us ready for heaven. But you take the blood of Jesus out, and you take all of the essential things out of it, and you give people just a shell with nothing, no substance there. Cunningly devised fables And that's what's going to happen. And she was very much right. She said there was a famine, and it was a famine for the hear, for the words of the Lord. Running to and fro, the young people, it even speaks about them. It says, and they wander from sea to sea and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. In that day shall the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst, fainting because they have no anchor to the soul. Will our anchor hold in the day that we're living in? Is our anchor good and solid, or we have been shaken by all of the compromise around us and by all the lukewarmness and all by all the whitewash? The devil likes to paint pretty whitewash things, but underneath is seething sores. I had to think, you know, how if you start getting on specifics and things in life that where there's question marks, people get shook up and they say, oh, don't talk about them, talk about the heart and so on and so forth. And I had to think about that. You know, I walked into a doctor's office and he says, have a seat over there. And before long, he has this big stethoscope he pulls out and puts it in his ears, and he'll put it up to my chest and listen. And he listens here and listens there and go around behind and listen back there. What's he listening to? He's listening to different things. He's listening to the heartbeat. He's listening to the clarity of the lungs as they breathe. Before long, they'll come along with a blood pressure strap, put it around your arm and pump it all up, and then watch it as it goes down. And they want to see what the numbers are. And sometimes the look on the nurse's face when her eyes get big and she looks at that thing, you know, I wonder, what's it showing now? Well, my little deal at home looks a lot better than when I go to the doctor's office. And I found out that you call that, what is it, white syndrome? In other words, when you go in the doctor's office, your blood pressure goes up. You're sort of shook up and you're a little bit on the wonder what's going to happen. What are they going to find? And you know, when we go into God's great office and he puts the big stethoscope on us and checks and sees how is the blood running through the veins? Have the veins been restricted? Is there plaque in there? Are they plugged up? Or do you need a heart surgery? Do you need a bypass surgery? What do you need? What does the doctor check? He checks things. He looks us all over. You got a big sore on your arm? Huh, what's that about? I went in and I showed the doctor my fingers. I was concerned. And does that have anything to do with diabetes? I'm afraid so, he said. You know, sometimes diabetes, your circulation in your extremities, your fingers, your toes, is not what it should be. And so you can have problems. And if your problems get great enough, the next thing you know, you have gangrene. And they say gangrene is incurable. Well, what are these outward indications that there's an inward problem? You know, the Lord looks his little crowd over. And do they love to serve the Lord? Do they love the truth? Do they love to live for him? Do they hate the world, the flesh, and the devil, and all that goes along with it? Or are they hankering after the leeks and the garlics down in Egypt? Are they awake spiritually? You know, when we go into the doctor's office, he doesn't do like what some people think. He doesn't get a big old knife out and a saw and whack us right down through here and start cutting down, because he wants to look at the heart. That's not what he does. But he starts checking the indicators of what's happening down in here. And God does the same thing over us, each one of us. You know, Do they have a meek and a quiet spirit? God sees the heart. He knows the heart. But as we look at each other, the scripture talks about bearing fruit. And if we're real Christians, we're going to bear fruit for him. And there's going to be this wonderful fruit that's going to come out. And you know, if you take one of those delicious fruit of the Holy Spirit and you begin to taste of it, it's good. It's sweet. It's something that will satisfy. It's something that will build you up. What do people taste when they bump on you, bump against you, or maybe step on your toe and it hurts? What happens? What are some of the outward indicators? I think I've told you before, I had an uncle working at my father's shop, and the welder came along, and he was pulling the welder. And as he was pulling the welder, he came along, my uncle standing off to the side, and he didn't mean to, but he ran over my uncle's toe. And it was a heavy welder. And you know what happened? Immediately, he had a hammer in his hand, and he flung that hammer, and it went through the window. There was a response. You know, what does that tell about that man? Anger. What are the works of the flesh? Anger, malice, hatred, jealousy, all of those things like that. Do we have the wonderful fruit of the Spirit, which there's no law against? You can just have as much of the fruit of the Holy Spirit as just allow God to work in you and allow it to come out, and people can taste of it and it's good. They bump up against you, and instead of getting a bad temper, it's the honey in the rock. It's sweet. It's good. It's a good attitude. It's something that's working, an outward indication of an inward work, that we have an anchor of the soul that is holiness, steadfast and sure. While the billows are rolling around us, it's something that'll hold us in the time of life and also in death. And that brings back to my mind the time just here a while back when we went to my mother's funeral, and one of the songs that was so precious to us during that time, and we had it written on the back of her little thing and sang that at the funeral. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wild seas no more. The tempest may sweep or the wild stormy deep. In Jesus, I'm safe evermore. And you know, that's what we're going to need when we come to the end of life. Life is all over. May the Lord help us to be awake spiritually, not to be sleeping, a part of the sleepy church, a part of those that have drifted with the tide. But may God help us to humble ourselves before him and get low at the foot of the cross and allow him to get us ready for that great day.